And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and we'll have open lines for you. Boy, am I getting the fast blasts from people about them dreaming about asteroids and all kinds of earth-shattering things. I hope nothing's going on. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Get us started. Hi there.
Hey, George. How are you?
Great.
I've got a quick actually two things real fast.
Oh, sure.
I'm calling from California. I'm finishing up a book right now, which I'll make sure you get a copy as soon as I get it shopped around and get somebody to publish it.
Okay, love to.
And it's basically, I was in the military, but also prior to and after a bunch of issues, you know, which I'll get into later on when I give you a copy of the book. But anyway, just to let you know if anyone. The other thing is, I'm noticing a lot lately, a lot of us that are in the military or prior military, around, at least in the California area, have seen a lot of weird things happening lately. For example, in the mornings, I'd drop my daughter off to school prior to going into work. And we've had cases where we've seen, I guess what you would call guardian angels, for lack of better words. Two of us on our route to work have seen the same woman on numerous occasions crossing the street or standing in front of us, kind of holding us up from getting into work. And it's just kind of a weird type of thing, but I don't know if you've heard anything else.
Well, no, hold on for a second. How do you know she's a guardian angel?
I don't, but just the two of us, we're both kind of given the same description of the same woman. And my dad, who is a minister, I, you know, kind of brought it up to him and said, you know, what do you think this is? And it's just kind of like that's his feeling about it. I don't know. I mean, she's never said anything to us, but it's like whenever you see her, the only thing you can, it's kind of like you're looking at her face-to-face, but you're not face-to-face with her. I mean, it's like, it's that type of feeling where you really can't tell what it is. And she'll just kind of stand and linger at you for a moment and keep walking like it's nothing.
Well, describe her. Describe her for me.
It's probably a mixture between either maybe a Hispanic or Indian lady, and you see her long hair. And the first time I saw her, like I said, I go to work at 5:30 in the morning, so I'm pushing. I'm usually late, so I'm trying to hurry up to work. And see the lady there, and, you know, I'm everything but cussing, you know, because this lady's taking forever to get across the street. And
don't cuss at an angel. Don't do that.
And once I turn around to look to see where she went, she's gone. She's nowhere to be found. And I brought it up just in conversation at work one day, and one of the guys I was with had made the same comment on the same road. He said, we kind of thought maybe she was just a homeless lady or something in the area. And we were not the only two. I mean, a couple of us have seen it. And then the weird fact is, you know, all of us that work there, either in the military currently or have been recently, and the civilians that you talk to around there have never, you know, haven't seen this. And it's kind of, it's real eerie. And it started, you know, right around February, March of this year, right, when we first started, you know, the ordeal overseas.
But you're saying military people in this region who live there,
yeah,
they see her, but people who've never been in the military don't seem to see her?
No. We've had civilians in the area. Like, I'm currently in the Guard. I was active. I got out. Now I'm in the Guard. But it's just only people who've been in the military. I mean, we asked around. I mean, it got to the point people thought I was psycho or nuts for a while because, you know, I was straight asking people, have you seen this lady? And they're all looking at me like I've been lost my mind. But no, I mean, it's all military people. And, you know, three or four people off the top of my head that I can think of, you know, that all work in the same office area. It's real weird. I don't know if you've heard anything else recently.
No, not at all. And aside from walking across the street, what else does she do?
Is it. It's like a look, and it's like a look as if I'm standing a foot from her, but we're not. I mean, I'm in my vehicle, and it's like that type of a feeling, and it's just like a gaze into her eyes type thing, and then you, it's like you don't even, the first time I didn't really think much of it. Like I said, I was angry, and then turned around to look to see where she had went, and she was gone. And, you know, it's pretty much the same story from everybody, and like I said, I talked to my dad, and his feeling is, you know, it's kind of maybe that person looking out for those of us that are in the military, or maybe, you know, she gets like guardian angel that's there because they know what's going on. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
That is, in what region of California are you in?
Northern California, Sacramento area.
Okay, we'll see if anybody else checks in with us on that.
Okay, thanks, George.
A strange one. All right, appreciate your call. First time caller line, welcome to Coast. You are on the air. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, this is Dan from Oklahoma.
Hello, Dan.
I have a question for you, George. Actually, I have a comment. It's a real honor to speak with you tonight. I've been an Art Bell fan for many years, and I just recently started listening to you, and when I heard you speak of Art Bell, I really got attentive then. I had an interesting thing happen to me this past weekend. My wife and I went to Vicksburg, Mississippi, to visit the Civil War battlefield there, National Park. And we went to down to the where the cemetery was, the cemetery.
Sure.
And we were looking for a place to pull off and look at some of the old grave sites and things, and we couldn't find a place. It was a pretty large cemetery. So finally we come to a wide spot in the road, and I got out of the car. And the very first grave that I saw, the first marker that I saw, was my name. I, of all these thousands of grave markers out in this cemetery, it was the very first one I looked at was my name. And I don't know whether the man was Confederate or a Union soldier or whatever. So that kind of got to me a little bit. And my wife and I commented on it for a few seconds. And we started walking around looking at the graves. And probably about 30 minutes into our tour, we're by ourselves. And I stopped to look at another grave, and it was so worn, gravestone was so worn, I couldn't see the name on it. So I made a comment to my wife. I said, well, this one's been here a long time. I can't even see the name.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached down and took my hand and wiped across it. And it was my name again, not my first name, but my last name with a different first name.
Now, this is getting strange for you.
Very strange.
Yeah.
These there are probably, Georgia's, I don't know if you've ever been to Vicksburg, but there's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 to 25,000 grave markers out there.
I know, and the odds of you picking out two tombstones with
exactly.
your names on it are pretty improbable.
Pretty improbable, especially the very first one. But we have drove around this cemetery for a good little bit trying to find a place to pull off because we wanted to look. I love to look at old cemeteries and look at the markers and see how long the people's been buried. And I'm a history buff, in particular the Civil War. And we pulled off. We finally found a place to pull off. We're the only ones in the park. It wasn't a very busy weekend down there this weekend. And the very first grave marker I looked at was my first name and my last name. And then we walked around a good little bit again. We were commenting about that. That kind of got to me a little bit. But the very next grave that I made a comment on, I looked down and I couldn't see it. It was kind of mossed over and the writing had kind of faded. You know, the engraving
yes.
had kind of wore out. So I took my hand. I told my wife, I can't see what this one says. And I raked across it and she goes, oh my gosh, is your last name again. So I wiped it some more and it's a different first name, but my very first, very last name was the same.
And
I really got shook then.
Let me tell you, and the fact that you were there, I don't know if some of them might have been old relatives of yours or what, but that is highly unusual.
Very improbable. I tell you what else, then I'll conclude my story. I went back to the first grave with my first name on it, and I felt very compelled to kneel down and say a prayer for this man. I'm not a particularly religious man. I do believe in God and all that, but I'm not just a devout religious man. But I knelt down, and I removed my cap, this being Veterans Day and all, and I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I was saying a private prayer for this man. And very plain behind me, I was asking the good Lord to put this man at rest. I hope he's, you know, at peace now.
Right.
And a very plain voice said, Danny, I am at peace. Don't worry about me. This is plain as you and I are talking right now.
You're giving me goosebumps, Daniel.
You're giving me goosebumps. I'm having them again right now, George, I promise you. I'm 57 years old. I've never had anything like this happen to me before.
What a wonderful event.
What a wonderful event. What a wonderful time for it to happen on Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
You know, over Veterans Weekend. That's one reason why we went there. This is the very first time I've ever called anybody on the radio station. You're the one. I just want to relate this to you. I enjoy your show so very much.
Thanks for sharing the story, and thanks for your service in the military.
I'm going to go back to the radio, and I'd like to hear something if anybody else, or I know your guest is into coincidence. I'd kind of like to hear something maybe along this line.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's
okay.
a coincidence or what.
He'll be on pretty soon. Thanks.
Thanks, George.
And Deepak has a different spin to what he calls coincidences because the end result is exactly how I believe, except he uses the word coincidences, and I say that they don't exist. So we have different interpretations, but we get to the end of the road the same way. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Yes, sir. I was listening a few weeks ago. I'm a pretty new listener to your show.
Welcome to the team here.
Thank you. But anyway, something caught my attention. I'm from Tennessee, and I heard you talking about the UFO crashes in Roswell and the one in Pennsylvania, and
mm-hmm.
you also mentioned one in Tennessee, and in McMinnville, Tennessee, to be particular, and
right.
that's close to where I live. And I was just wondering a little bit more information on that, what year that might have been, if you happen to know.
I don't recall the year. There was another one in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which was in 43. But I'll tell you what, we'll talk about that this Friday night at a UFO crash retrieval conference in Las Vegas. I'll find somebody who knows all about that for you.
I appreciate it. And also, one other thing, not before last, I was looking up in the night sky, and I saw a star that all of a sudden it got intensely bright and then just faded out to nothing.
Poof, it was gone.
It's gone.
Probably not a meteor. I don't think so. It wasn't zigzagging all over the place, was it?
It was stationary. It just lit up real bright, and then all of a sudden it faded out to nothing. It was in the south sky, and like I said, I'm in Tennessee, and I was looking that direction, and I didn't know what that might have been, if it was just a star fading out or what that could have been.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it could be a satellite that loses its reflection, and then it's gone that way as well. A lot of things like that could happen. Many, many strange things in the skies. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hi, George. You're doing a great job.
Well,
this is Mark in Newport.
Hello, Mark in Newport. What's going on?
I wanted to ask a favor of you. The next time you have an out-of-body
person. As long as it's not money.
No. Right. I've tried to get through every time you've had one and been on hold and then you run out of time. I just wanted to see if white noise, like a fan, would interfere with that, because I sleep with a fan and I'm trying to do this, and I'm just wondering if that would interfere with it.
I think any kind of noise could interfere with it. This is such a sensitive area for peace when you're trying to meditate in order to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't done it yet, I think noise, even from a fan, could disrupt what you're trying to do.
Okay. I also have a mass consciousness idea, and that would be for disclosure.
Not a bad idea.
All right, well, you have a great night.
Okay.
Have fun in Vegas.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Well, it'll be all work and no play. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
George, this is Paul in Miami.
Hi, Paul.
WIOD 610.
Absolutely. Number one down in Miami, thanks to you and everyone else down there.
All right, that's a roger. Listen, I was traveling to Pittsburgh in 1956, and I was listening to a radio station, and they played a recording of the landing of a flying saucer. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not heard of the one that you're talking about.
Well, I would like to get a copy of it if there was ever a possibility. I mean, ever since that time that I heard it, I've wanted to know if it was on a record or a tape.
Well,
tell
me a little bit about the event. Now, you said you heard it in 1956, but do you know exactly where the landing was supposed to have taken place and what they said about it?
No, but it was like newspapers and reporters and radio stations and so forth.
Okay, 1956, about what period, what month? Was it in October?
I would say August of 1956.
August, okay.
And I have no idea what the radio station was. It was just because I just, was approaching Pittsburgh, had tuned into this radio station. They played this. It was a recording, whether it was on tape or a record, I have no idea. But I've never heard it since. And I've talked to a few different people, and somebody says, well, it was something from one of them old movies.
Well, I was going to say, are you sure it wasn't from the War of the Worlds?
Well, that's what somebody had said to me, but I have no idea whether that was it or not.
I mean, they could have replayed it. And a matter of fact, a lot of stations replay that now, especially during Halloween.
Was that the type of thing that was in that movie?
Well, this I was talking about was an old original broadcast, and it was about Martians who had landed. And
really?
It was pretty darn dramatic. And I've got a copy of it somewhere in storage.
Oh, my goodness. I'd love to have a copy of that myself.
If you go, do you have a computer?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, find someone who does. There is a book out there called War of the Worlds, and you can get the CD with the book. And I'm pretty sure that must be what you heard. I'm just going to take a stab in the dark, but I think that's what it was.
Oh, my goodness.
And it started with an announcer coming in and out, talking about things, and it was pretty dramatic.
Yes, it was.
Yep.
And it was like, a lot of people were gathered around, and they were seeing it in the sky, and then it actually landed.
Oh, yeah. And then there was panic all over the place.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what you were listening to.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so very much. Mm-hmm. Really, I enjoy listening to you and all the stories and all the things that you have on. I appreciate it very much.
No problem. Thanks. Appreciate your call. Let's go to our wild card line, probably the last call of the hour. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
This is Troy from Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
My thing is a little bit like the first caller that you had this morning, Guardian Angels. My grandmother on my mother's side was a huge fan of this show and a huge believer of a lot of the things that they're talked about on this show.
Right.
When I was very young, I would hear her voice, and she would not be around. And it was a very soft voice, kind of like you're trying to wake somebody up out of their sleep, like your grandmother would use.
Yeah.
Well, then as I grew up, that went away. Until several years ago, I became a police officer. And when I would get into a situation that was going to be a little bit dangerous, right before that, I would hear her voice just say my name in that very soft tone. A couple of years ago, my grandmother passed away. Now, any time that I'm about to get into a situation like that, I hear my mother's voice in that very same soft tone say my name.
Now, is your mother still alive?
She's very much alive, yes, sir. She sure is. And my question is, I guess, is it possible to have a guardian angel who is still alive?
I'm not sure if it's possible to have the definition of a guardian angel who is still alive. But something must be happening between this incredible relationship between you and your grandmother, you and your mother, where somehow I think they are able to tap into your thoughts. They pick up this tenseness as you are doing your job as a police officer, and they're communicating with you. And I think they're basically telling you, watch it, go easy. I think they can almost feel or see what you see. You've got a family that's got some kind of connection. And you know what? That's fantastic. It really is. I'll be back in a moment with my guest, Dr. MD Type, Deepak Chopra. And again, during the second and third hours of the interview, we'll open up the phone lines for you. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Sign up for StreamLink at www.coasttocoastam.com. And you can hear tonight's show over and over and over.